There are many mitzvos that we fulfill on the Seder night. Mitzvos d'oraisa, mitzvos d'rabbanan. Perhaps the mitzvah which defines the Seder is, of course, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Seder is all about. It's about retelling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, internalizing the messages of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and trying to learn and to grow from them. Many of the Mefarshim ask, why is it that there's no Birchas HaMitzvah on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We don't find that we make a brocha at the beginning of the Seder, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu al Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why not? Sefer Avudrom quotes from the Rif, who suggests that maybe we don't recite a brocha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim because we've already fulfilled our obligation in Kiddush by saying Zecher LiYetzias Mitzrayim. What does that mean? What's the Rif saying? That you fulfilled your obligation with Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, therefore there's no reason for a bracha. So you could explain that what the Rif has in mind is that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled with the Hazkara Ba'alma by just mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why he claims that there's no chiyuv to recite a bracha. He holds that we're not going to recite a bracha before Kiddush, you're not going to recite a bracha on the Kiddush. It looks like you're reciting a bracha on the Kiddush itself, so that you're not going to do. But once you've said Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush, then you've been Yotze Yochiv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with that Hazkara Ba'alma. So even if we'll say Kalamar L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Hareza Meshubach, that's just a Hiddur Mitzvah. We don't recite Birchas HaMitzvah on a Hiddur. That could be what the Rif has in mind. If we don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on a Hiddur, you've already fulfilled your mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Hazkara of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, Chazal didn't institute a separate Birchas HaMitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's unclear whether the Rif himself had this in mind, but this is what the Pri Chodosh suggests himself. He writes this in Siman Tafayin Gimel Sivav. He suggests this answer as to why we don't have a bracha for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says, because you were Yotze already. You were Yotze the Chiyuv of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush with just the Hazkara Ba'am. Now this comment of the Pri Chodosh, the possible shita in the Rif, again, it's not clear if the Rif meant this, but the Pri Chodosh says it beferish. At first glance, it seems difficult, because we know Reb Chaim in the stencils and his Chidushim on Shas already set forth the fundamental yesod that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is qualitatively different than Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a different mitzvah, fundamentally different. How so? In three very important ways. These are all categorized and alluded to by the Mishnayis on Daf Kuf Tazayin and Psochim. First of all, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just the Hazkara Ba'amla, he says, but rather it requires Derech Shelo Tshuva, that you have to ask a question and get an answer. That's what the Mishnah says on Daf Kuf Tazayin and Aleph. The Brayis explains that Im Chacham Beno Sholo, Im Lav Ishto Sholo So. And if a person doesn't have a child or a wife, so then he asks himself. Sounds like the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled derech shelo tshuva. That seems to be meduyik in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki yishol chabincha mochar lemer mohaidos v'achukim v'mishpatim etc." If your child will ask you, if there's a sheila, then v'amarta avodim ayunu lefar b'mitzrayim v'yotzienu Hashem misham. Then you say to him, "Avodim ayunu lefar b'mitzrayim." Shaila uchuva. The child asks and you respond. Now, even though the pasuk sounds like the child is asking the question, it could be what the Brice is saying is that if there is no child, then that format of shaila uchuva has to be fulfilled through the person himself. He's shaila satsma if he doesn't have anyone else. Derech shaila uchuva, that's number one. Number two, maschil beganusu mesayim b'shevach. The Mishnah says that you have to start with the disgraceful parts of history, of Jewish history, and then be Messiah b'shevach. Avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu Hashem misham. Maschil beganus, avdus, and go to cheres. Messiah b'shevach. Mitchila ovdei avodazara hayu avoseinu, v'achshor kevanu amakom lavodasa. Before we were ovdei avodazara, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us his avodim. That's what the pasuk says. You have to be maschil beganus and Messiah b'shevach. And thirdly, you also have to mention the mitzvahs halayla as part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuv Tezayin Psachim. Rabbi Gamliel, Hayomer, Koshla Omer, Shloshil Dvar Medla Pesach, Lo Yatzi Dechavasa, Pesach Matsumar. Gotta mention the mitzvah Salaila as part of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. But he got it to Levincha Bayoma Ulemar, Bavur Zos Hashem, Libetzesi Mitzrayim. Bavur Zeh, what does that mean, Bavur Zeh? Says Rashi, Bavur Sheakayim Mitzvosav. The purpose of Yatzias Mitzrayim was to fulfill the mitzvahs, and you have to mention those mitzvahs. Balaila Hahu. You have to mention those mitzvahs on the Seder night. And this is what the Rambam writes. Rambam in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, Perek Zayin, he describes the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says there's a special mitzvah B'Leil Tesvah, and he mentions all these points. He discusses in Halacha Beis mitzvah Lehodi Alibonim, Afilu Lo Shalu, you have to tell the children, even if they don't ask, you have to tell them. But he continues to say that even if there are no children, so then there's a chiyuv to ask also. There's a inyan of derech shelu tshuva. Then in halacha dalet he mentions maskla b'gnosu m'sayim b'shevach. In halacha hey he mentions pesach matzamar. Yeah, that you have to say the mitzvah halayla as well. And the Rambam concludes udvarim ha'elu kula nikroin hagada. Hagada sipi tzvias tzvayim includes all of these elements. So at first glance, the comment that the Prichadosh makes that you don't have to have a bracha on Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim because you're yotzi with Azkar and Kiddush, stach pilei ploy, karetz pilei ploy, isn't it against the Rambam? It's against the Mishnayos and Psachim. So the answer that you have to give is that the Prichadosh disagrees. He assumes that Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim really is fulfilled with just the Hazkara Ba'alma. It's the same as the Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. I said, what's special? If there's no qualitative difference on the night of the Seder, what's so special about the night of the Seder? The answer is, since the night of the Seder is the time that we went out of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Torah has a special kpeda, a special requirement to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder, but it's not qualitatively different than the regular mitzvah of Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol HaShana Kula. It's just that if you don't do Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, since it's derived from a different pasuk, you'll violate two mitzvahs asay. Two mitzvahs instead of one, you'll violate two mitzvahs. I say there are some times that the Torah has multiple mitzvahs and multiple lavim for one avera, one mitzvah. I look at the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says that for lashon hara, there are multiple times in the Torah that this avera is mentioned. There are mitzvahs I say that you mevatel if you say lashon hara. There are lavim that you violate. Sometimes the Torah emphasizes a point. Not by changing the nature of the mitzvah, but by simply doubling, by simply repeating the particular level of the particular essay. So one could say that's really the case with Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's nothing qualitatively different in the essence of the mitzvah. Yes, there are these extra elements that Chazal instituted that you have to do, but those are a hidden mitzvah. Perhaps the Ikar mitzvah can be fulfilled with just a Hazkara Baal. And it's taka interesting because the Ran there in Psachim on Kuf Tazayin says that the Lashon Rabbi Gamliel uses, Kol Shalomer, Shalosh Dvarim, Eilu Pesach, Lo Yotze, Yidei Chavasa. What does that mean? He didn't fulfill his Chiyuv Zachter Ran. It means Lo Yotze B'Shlei Musa. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah completely. But the basic mitzvah of Adah you fulfilled. According to the Ran, it sounds like it's not Ma'akev in the mitzvah. It's not absolutely necessary to mention the mitzvahs Halayla. Or Masel B'Nusa Messiah B'Shevach. With Derech Shelu Tshuva, it's not absolutely necessary against the Rambam. The Rambam says these are Ma'akev in Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what Haggadah means. So you could say what the Prichadosh is going. He's going with the Ran. There's a whole other school of thought in the Rishonim. Reb Chaim and Stenzel's made us convinced that the Rambam is correct, but the Rambam is not the only one. There are other Rishonim who say that the mitzvahs halayla are not Ma'akev in Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a hiddur in the mitzvah. But it's not actually ma'akev in the mitzvah. So maybe Taka, that's what the Rif had in mind. That, like the Prichadosh, the reason why you don't have a bracha on Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is because you Taka Yotze in Kiddush by saying Zerech Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the rest of it is just the Hiddur, and we don't have a bracha on the Hiddur. That's what you could suggest. But it's not Mukhruch. You could say that the Rif really goes like the Rambam. He really assumes that these elements are part of the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, the three elements. What he means to say is not that through Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim you fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does the Rif mean to say? The Rif perhaps means that by saying the bracha of Kiddush, you've been yotze yochiv to recite a bracha on Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not that you've been yotze the mitzvah, you still have to do the sipur. You need the Shayat Derech Shelu Tshuva, and you need the mitzvah Salayla, and you need Maskel B'Gnosu Messiah B'Shevach. But maybe what he means to say is that you've been yotze yochiv of bracha. How so? Well, look at the Kiddush. What do you say? Asher Baruch Abanu Mikolam, V'Kiddush Shana B'Mitzvosam, Batita lano es yom chag hamatzos hazet, etc. Zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. What are you saying? You say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us mitzvos v'kiddushono b'mitzvosov. Sounds like a birchas hamitzvah. He's given us mitzvos. He's given us many mitzvos that are zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush is one of them. He's given us mitzvos that are zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. That's close enough to saying Asher kiddushono b'mitzvosov v'tzivonu al sipri yitzias Mitzrayim. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is like a host of other mitzvahs that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So maybe that's what the Rif had in mind. Not that the Yotzei Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim by saying Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just the Hazkara Ba'alma. But maybe the Pshat is, since you incorporate elements in the Kiddush that would be included in the Birchas HaMitzvah, you've done the job already. So once you've done the job and you've set a Barucha that's close enough to the Birchas HaMitzvah, so then there's no need to say the Barucha, to say a special bracha. Not that the Rif means you've been Yotze Yochiv of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. No, he's going like the Rambam. That would make a lot of sense. Very often the Rambam and the Rif are going in tandem. So even if the Rif holds that Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim requires more than Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, he might say that mentioning Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav and the Loshen of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush, that suffices for the Birchas HaMitzvah. That's all he meant. So once you've done that, then there's no need to say the bracha. That's one answer that you could give. They quote the Shiboli Aleket. I didn't see this inside, but I saw quoted that the Shiboli Aleket gives a different answer. He says that the bracha Asher Golonu that we recite at the end of Magid, that's the bracha on Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal didn't institute another bracha, since we're going to make the bracha Asher Golonu at the end of Magid. So they said that suffices for the bracha on Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now that seems strange, because to say that the bracha Asher Golonu can suffice for a birchas hamitzvah, first of all, it's not a nusach bracha birchas hamitzvah; it's a birchas hashavach. So it's quite a jump to say that it can suffice for birchas hamitzvah. But there's another kasha, and that is that we know that normally we recite birchas hamitzvah before the performance of the mitzvah, right? Kol hamitzvos kulon mevarech aleihem over lasiyah, before the performance of the mitzvah. And yet here we're reciting this bracha after the magid, at the end of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, there are other elements to the Seder that are coming up, and we're going to say Hallel and other things, but the basic Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Magid. So why say the Bracha at the end? It seems very strange to say the Bracha at the end. So the Shiboleh Halekat himself suggests the reason why we recite the Bracha at the end is because the Bracha talks about Geula. So once we talk about Geula, if we were to recite the Bracha Asher Golonu in the beginning of the Haggadah, so then we wouldn't be able to fulfill Maschel B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach. It's not appropriate to talk about Genus after you talk about Geula. So if the Bracha Asher Golonu talks about Geula, and we need Maschel B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach, so then we would prevent ourselves from fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim in the proper way, because you wouldn't be able to have a Maschel B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach. So he says that's why Chazal instituted the Bracha at the end of Magid. We've already fulfilled Achiyah V'Maslo B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach. Now we can say a bracha on the Geula. We can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. That's one answer. The Chasam Sofer in his Drushes gives a different answer. He says that the bracha Asher Golonu was the bracha on Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And even though normally Birchas HaMitzvah are always recited before the mitzvahs, but here it's different. Why is it different? So he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah paraphrases what we all say. It's slightly different lashon he has, very powerful lashon. Rambam says in Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, "B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam laharos es atzmo, ki'ilu hu ba'atzmo yotza ato mishibud Mitzrayim." He adds a little bit to our phraseology. B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam laharos. Some have a girsa liros es atzmo. I think the Frankel has both girsos. The God Girsa is Liros. The Rambam says Laharos, not only Liros, but Laharos, to show. The minhag of the Sfardim is to walk around the table with the matzahs over the shoulder. They try to demonstrate that they're leaving Mitzrayim, not just to feel it, not just to see oneself in that way, but to actually to show it to other people. Not the Rambam, Becholdor, Vador, Chayav Adam, Laharos, is Atzmo, Ki'ilu hu be'atzmo, Yotza ato mishibud Mitzrayim, that this person himself is leaving now from Shibud Mitzrayim. Shenemar ve'osanu hotz misham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, not just our forefathers, not just our ancestors, but he took us out of Mitzrayim as well. Says the Chasam Sofer, what does that mean? That means that on the Seder night, a person has to feel as if he's leaving Mitzrayim mamish. Leaving Mitzrayim. We're not going to fool ourselves. We're not leaving Mitzrayim. We're not there. We're not in Egypt. But you have to think about it. You have to contemplate what it must have been like to have the pain of the Shibud and to have the exhilaration of a Geula, to be redeemed after being in a place as Avodim for hundreds of years, generation after generation. Think about it. Think about it. For a moment. Take the time. It's a long night. Take the time and think about it. Says the Rambam, a person has to feel as if he's leaving Mitzrayim now. The Seder night is a time of transformation. It's a time when we have to re-experience the transformation from Avodus to Cheres. Transformation from Metchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu, Avoseinu, Asher Kevanu Amakom L'Avodasa. We know that a Gershon is Gayer, when he makes a bracha on the tefillah, going to the mikveh, the bracha is not recited at the beginning, before he goes into the mikveh. It's recited afterward. As the Gemara says in Psachim and Avzayin Amid Beis, the Gershon is Gayer, the Gavra de Lochazi. He can't make a bracha, that's Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav. He doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael yet. He can't make a bracha before he goes into the mikveh. It's after the transformation, after he becomes a ger, then he can make the bracha. Zavta Chasam Sofer, that's why we leave the bracha Asher Golano till the end of Magid. The Seder is a process of transformation. We have to feel different at the end of the Seder. We have to feel reborn, a renaissance of spirit. It's not just eating matan mora, that's nice. Being together with the mishpacha, recounting Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's great, it's very important, it's a big mitzvah. But we have to feel different at the end. We have to feel different at the end. Because we have to feel different, we leave that bracha as a symbol of the transformation that we've experienced, hopefully, through the process of the Seder, through the Magid, through talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Brisker Rebbe used to say, this is the most difficult mitzvah to fulfill on the Seder night. It's not eating the matzah in Kedei Achilas Pras in under 4 minutes. It's not the drinking of the Dalet Kosos, even for those who have trouble drinking wine. They could drink grape juice, according to many shittos, lechatchila can be yotzei Dalet Kosos with grape juice. It's not so difficult. Even mora, the bitter herb, not, you know, we have romaine lettuce, we don't have to eat the bitter mar, but even those who do have a bitter mar, that's not the most difficult part of the Seder. The most difficult part of the Seder is to feel it. To feel the hergish of leaving Mitzrayim. That's the most difficult part of the Seder. To picture yourself like you're leaving Mitzrayim. Osanu hotzi misham. Not just to retell the story, but to experience the story. To feel the shibud. To feel the cheres, to feel a change of spirit. Why is it so critical? Why is it so critical that we re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we feel that we're leaving Mitzrayim? That we feel the pain of the Shibud and the exhilaration of the Geula? I think it's important for two reasons. First of all, the Seder is the time to be mischadesh. It's a time to feel a sense of beginning, a new beginning. Chodesh Nisan is a new time. It's the Aviv, the springtime when everything is starting to grow once again. It's a time when the world is mischadesh, and it's a time when each and every one of us has to be mischadesh. We know that Nisan is like a Rosh Hashanah. There's a Shaila in the Gemara whether the Tak of the world was created the Chodesh Nisan or the Chodesh Tishrei. So Pesach is a Rosh Hashanah as well. It's a time for tshuva. It's a time to think about our priorities in life and our goals. It's a time to have a fresh start. I think that's the goal. The goal of the Seder night, one of the goals of the Seder night, is to re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, to give us that sense of hischadshus, that sense of haschola chadosha, so that we can re-evaluate where we're headed in life. And you can't really think about goals and priorities unless you feel like you're someone new. I mean, you can, but it's much harder if you feel reborn. You feel like a gavra chadosha, a gavra chadosh. You feel like a new person. Or in the case of a woman, she can be a gavra chadosh. You feel like a new person, so then you can contemplate where you're headed and what you're supposed to be doing. I think that's one of the purposes. One of the purposes of the Seder is to have a sense of hischadshus and to really reevaluate our direction in life. But I think there's another point as well. And that is when we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, not just our ancestors. This is not an ancient historical fact that occurred to generations past. No, it's something that we went through, that we're going through this night, the night of the 15th. When we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we're so much more indebted to Him. Hakaras HaTov is a function of how close you feel to the person who did that Hatava to you. Take a mashal, let's say a king frees someone from jail. So who's going to feel more Hakaras HaTov to the king? Who's going to feel more appreciative? The prisoner or his great-great-grandchild? Of course, the prisoner, the one who leaves the jail. So if we feel that we're leaving jail, if we feel that we experienced Avdus, we try to feel it, we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, then we'll be much more indebted to Him. And that's really what the Seder is all about. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to appreciate everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, everything He did for us in the past, and everything He's doing on the Seder night. He's taking us out once again, so to speak, taking us out from Mitzrayim, and we have to be indebted to Him. We have to appreciate it. That, of course, has to translate into what we're going to be doing to show how much we appreciate everything Hashem does for us. Okay, that's the essence of what the Seder is about. So after we do Kaddish, then we have Urchatz. We wash our hands for the Karpas. The Taz, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, has a famous question. He says, normally during the year, we don't wash for Davash Tibula B'mashka. We don't wash our hands before eating a fruit or a vegetable that's dipped in liquid. So why suddenly at the Seder we wash our hands? As the Taz says, Manishtana Halayla Hazem Mikol Halelos. He adds another question to the Manishtan. So someone has suggested that, yeah, we don't really have to wash our hands with Dina, but we do it just as another way to excite the children. Doing it to awaken the children so that they'll ask questions, they'll become involved, and we'll be able to tell them about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tziv, in his Haggadah Imre Shefer, suggests a different answer. He says, maybe the reason why we wash and davash et tibula b'mashke at the Seder is because it's a zecher l'mikdash. We do many things at the Seder that are zecher l'mikdash. Of course, we eat the korech, zecher l'mikdash ke'ilah, we even say it. Not only do we do it zecher l'mikdash, but we say that we're doing zecher l'mikdash. The eating of the afikoman is a zecher l'mikdash as well, zecher to the korban Pesach. The zroa, it's not just the mikdash, they ate the korban Pesach even before them, even before they had the Middash, they ate it back in Mitzrayim, but yeah, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, we'd still bring the Karban Pesach. But after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, we no longer have a Karban Pesach. So to some extent, the Afikoman is a Zecha to the Karban Pesach, it's Zecha LeMikdash. The Zeroa on the Ka'ar is Zecha LePesach, the Beitza, the Egg on the Ka'ar is Zecha LeKarban Chagigo. Even the Kittel, perhaps, is a Zecha LeMikdash. We know the Magen Avraham suggests the Kittel is a Simen Avelis. We shouldn't get carried away. We take out all of our wealth. We're supposed to display some of the silver and the expensive items that we have to really experience the cheiros, to show the cheiros. So the Magen Avraham says we wear a kittel. It's a beged meisim. It's a simen avela, so that we don't get carried away with the wealth. Shouldn't get carried away and be full of ourselves. We realize that there's an end. There's an end game. There's an end game to this world. Tziv writes that maybe the purpose of the kittel is not just a simen avelus, but maybe it's a zech l'mikdash. How so? He says, well, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the kohanim who ate kachim, everyone who ate kachim, we have big day lavan, expensive big day lavan. The kohanim would wear big day kahuna, but everyone else who was eating kachim, they wear beautiful begadim, big day malchus, so to speak, as a simen of chashivas for the karbanas. So if at the Seder we're trying to commemorate what happened at the Beis HaMikdash, they would eat the Karban Pesach, so perhaps we wear the Kittel as a Zechel HaMikdash because they were eating the Karban Pesach at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was steamed. That could be as well, Zok the Netziv, that could be why we wash our hands before the Karpas. Because Ochle Kodshim used to wash their hands. They were so afraid of the Truma and the Kodshim that they were eating, they washed their hands to make sure by Davash et Tibula B'mashke, nothing should become Tameh. So maybe as a Zecha LeMikdash, we wash our hands before the carpets. Why do we do so many things that are Zecha LeMikdash at the Seder? What's the idea of Zecha LeMikdash at the Seder? Rabbi Tversky once suggested that maybe the idea of Zeich LaMikdash at the Seder is because the tachlis of all of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The tachlis of all of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to create a makom for the Shechina. V'asu LiMikdash v'shachanti b'socham. That's what the Ramban writes in his Akdoma to Sefer Shmos. He says that Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Geula, and the Geula is not completed until the Mishkan is created. That's why Parshas Pekudei, the end of Sefer Shmos, is the construction of the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the Mokom for the Shechina, that is the Yisod, that's the Tachlis of all of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a part of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. If the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Tversky suggested that maybe part of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be Mishtokek, to long for the Beis HaMikdash. Without the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that's part of the essence of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. And that could explain why the night of the Seder is also the night of Tisha B'Av. Happens to be the night of, that's how it works out. Right? The night of the Seder is also the night of Tisha B'Av. Why? Because only if we're Mishtokek, if we long appropriately on the night of the Seder, where we have the tikkun for the night of Tisha B'Av. There's a connection between the Seder and Tisha B'Av. The Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Seder night are linked because it's by appreciating what we're missing when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's how we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's how we'll be Zelcha to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This could also explain why the Bracha Asher Golanu in our Nusach is quite a long Bracha. The Mishnah Psochim and of Kufta Zainam and Beis Kotz Machlokes Tanoi, and we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that we continue. Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagienu Lemoadim V'Lergolim Acherim L'Kraseinu L'Sholom, etc. We give a tefillah. It's not just the Baruch Hashem Golanu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim, but we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us, bring us to other Yomim Tovim. Smeichim b'avodasecha v'sosim b'irecha v'nochol shem and azvachim and apsachim. We should have a binyan beis hamikdash. What does that have to do with anything? A tefillah is part of a bracha. Give a birchas hashavah, but why add a tefillah? Rabbi Tversky suggested it's the same vart, that if the purpose of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be mishtokek to the binyan beis hamikdash, it's not enough just to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we have to express our longing for Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that has to be an essence of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. So if the Bracha Asher Golanu is a Birchas HaShevach going on Yetzias Mitzrayim, then you have to mention this tefillah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash as well, because that's the climax, that's the goal. That's why at the end of Dayenu, how do we conclude? What's the final word? The Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that's the final word. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, for Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything He did for us in the Midbar, etc. But the climax, the goal of everything, is Bon Alonu Es Beis HaBechira. He built us the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we hope, ultimately, we'll be able to go back to when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built once again. Karpas. What's the reason for Karpas? So, the simple understanding of Karpas is that it's a Zeich L'Cheres. Free people, Bnei Chorin, dip their food. So, Karpas is a Zeich L'Cheres. To some extent, it's Zeich L'Avdus as well. Some have a minig to dip the Karpas into Mei Melach, into salt water, so you can say it's a Zeich L'Avdus. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's a combination. It's both Zeich L'Cheres and Zeich L'Avdus. Rabbeinu Manoach, in his Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in the Frankel Rambam, it's published on the Rambam. In Perek Ches, Halacha Beis, he suggests something different. He says that, you know what the Karpas is a Zeicha to? It's a Zeicha to the Ksonus Pasim of Yosef. Rashi writes, Parshas Vayeshev, that Pasim, the word Pasim, in the Ksonus Pasim, is Miloshon Chur Karpas Usiles. What does Karpas in the Megillah mean? It doesn't mean a potato. Chur karpas uscheles. Karpas means big day lavan, fancy linen clothing. karpas, scheles is blue wool. It's talking about the fancy clothing they had at the time of Purim, at the Sudas. Karpas means fancy linen clothing. And that's what Yosef was given. Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef Aksonis Pasim, that beautiful garment. Pasim is Miloshon Karpas, Big Day Lavan. So, Rabbeinu Manoach, that's what the Karpas at the Seder is. We're not going to take a garment and dip it into salt water. But the illusion in the word Karpas, we take a food and dip it into salt. We can eat it, but we call it a Karpas as an allusion to the Aksonis Pasim that Yosef wore. Azecha to Yosef. Now this is highlighted even more according to the minig that the Beis Yosef quotes from the Mordechai. What do you dip the karpas into? So many dip it into salt water, others dip it into vinegar, but some have a minig to dip it into wine. So if you understand the karpas as a reference to Yosef's ksonis pasim, then dipping the karpas into wine is a reference to what? Lechiras Yosef. Right? They dipped the, they were shochet the seirism, and they dipped it into dam, right? So it's a reference to Mechiras Yosef. We find another reference to Yosef at the Seder. Does anyone know where? Dalet Kosas. Dalet Kosas could be a reference to Yosef as well. Rashi in Psochim and Tzadi Pesam Ibei says that the Dalet Kosas are a zechet to the Dalet Lashonah Shel Geula. That's what they teach all the school children. Four Lashonahs of Geula, Veotzesi, Veitzalti, Vegaalti, Velakachti. The Dalet Kosas are a zechet to that. But Rashi later on, a less known Rashi later on at Akuv Chesam Ad Aleph in Sachim, says that the Dalet Kosas, three of the Dalet Kosas are a zecher to the word kos in the Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, the kos paro biyadi. When the Sarah Mashkim tells Yosef about his dream, he says, the kos paro biyadi, v'ekach es ha'anovim, v'eten osam el kos paro, v'eten es ha'kos ha'kapa. It says kos three times there, kos paro. So Rashi there writes that that's what the Dalet Kosos are a zeichet to. Three times the kos paro, and the fourth is benching, the kos ha'berichas ha'mosam. That doesn't need a special reference. But the reference of the other three, that's for the kos paro biyadi, that's for the Sarah Mashkim. It's Bamis, it's Yerushalmi. There are two opinions that the Yerushalmi quotes. That either the Dalet Kosas are a zechet to the Dalet Lashonah Shel Geula, or they're a zechet to these three references to kos paro in the Pasuk. What does this mean? What are we mentioning Yosef at the Seder? What does Yosef have to do with the Seder? Karpas is a zechet to the Ksonis Pasim, maybe to Mechiras Yosef, the Dalet Kosas are a zechet to the Sarah Mashkim. Obviously it doesn't mean the Sarah Mashkim, it means Yosef's connection to the Sarah Mashkim. What are we mentioning Yosef at the Seder for? What are we making a remez to Yosef? So the answer probably is that it's Mechiras Yosef that got us in trouble in the first place. To really talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim properly, we got to go back to the very beginning. It was the Lashon Hara that Yosef spoke against the Shvatim. It was the Sinas Chinam that the Shvatim had for Yosef, and the fact that they sold him to slavery, that's what got us into trouble in the first place. So the way that we start the Seder, the Maschil Beginus, this is the Karpas, is the Maschil Beginus. Karpas is the Maschil Beginus. That's where we really get started. It's the relationship that Yosef and the Shvatim had, the bad relationship, the problematic relationship. The Sinas Chinam and the Lashon Hara, obviously on their level, we're not criticizing them, but on their level, they did something wrong. Chazal understood that the Torah was criticizing them, so we have to learn from them, not to criticize them, but to understand, to take for ourselves, to learn lessons that we have to act appropriately. But it's that experience, it's the chait of Mechiras Yosef that got us into trouble, that brought us down to Mitzrayim in the first place. So that's exactly what we're trying to bring out. The purpose of the karpas is not just that we do something that the children are going to ask, but fakir, now that we understand what the karpas is really about, one of the things that the karpas might be about, so when the children ask, that's the answer that you have to give. We have to start with Yosef, Mechiras Yosef, and the relationship between Yosef and the brothers to really explain what the Golas Mitzrayim was about. Just to add one more thought to this Yerushalmi, the Dalet Kosas is connected to the Kos Paro Biyadi. Why the Kos Paro Biyadi? So if you think about it for a moment, the dream of the Sarah Mashkin is really something that Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. What's the Sarah Mashkin saying? He was telling Yosef, I had the Kos Paro Biyadi and I was squeezing the grapes and I was putting it into the Kos Paro and I put the Kos on the Kaf Paro. What's he really talking about? What's pushing him? What's the Sarah Mashkin focusing on? The Sarah Mashkin is telling Yosef that I have this longing to go back to my job. I want to serve the king. Yosef saw in the Sarah Mashkin's dream, it wasn't just that he was doing his job. The Sarah Ofim also, he had all the baked goods on his head. He was doing his job. He was a baker. The Sarah Mashkin was working with the grapes. He was working with the wine, but it was more than that. It was that he was working with the wine, but he had this longing to be in front of Paro. He had this longing to get back to Paro, not just to do his job, but to do his job for Paro. That is one of the themes of the Seder night. That the tachlis of the cheres of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalas HaTorah. It's to become Avdei Hashem. It's not just freedom for its own sake, but freedom from being Avdei Paro so that we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. That's what the Ramban in Parshas Emor, in his famous piece, says, that Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos are really one Yom Tov. The days of the Sphere, as he puts it, are like a Cholo Shel Moed between. What's Pshat? The answer is, Kabbalah Sator of Shavuos, not just another Yom Tov. That's the climax of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the climax of Pesach. Without a Shavuos, Pesach is incomplete. And that's Merumas, that's hinted to in the Dalad Lashon Shel Geula as well. The first three are all talking about the Hatzola from the Avdus, redemption from Mitzrayim. But then, apparently the Geula is not complete until we become the Am Hashem, until we become Avdei Hashem. Ba'avur Zos Hashem Libetzesi Mi Mitzrayim, Ba'avur Sh'akayim Mitzosa. That's why perhaps you have to mention the Mitzvahs Halayla as part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as part of CP Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Why do you have to mention the Mitzvahs Halayla? Because that's the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is accepting upon ourselves all of Tayag Mitzvahs, getting the Torah. So mentioning the Mitzvahs Halayla, not just talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but mentioning the Mitzvahs Halayla simply highlights and underscores this idea that one of the goals of Yetzias Mitzrayim, perhaps the goal, is to have a Kabbalah Satorah and to accept upon ourselves the Mitzvahs and to do the Mitzvahs. This might also explain a comment of the Tosefta. Tosefta writes, "Sorech Adam Lasa Bilchas HaPesach Kol HaLayla Ad Shetach Befenu Shema." When it comes to the Leila Seder, even after the Seder is completed, a person should be involved in learning Hilchas HaPesach until they're overcome by sleep. Why dafka when it comes to the Seder night, we should be involved in Talmud Torah? Okay, it's a nice thing to do. You can be involved in Talmud Torah any night of the year. Why dafka the Seder? Ad Shetach Befenu Shema, you should be involved in Hilchas HaPesach Ad Shetach Befenu Shema. What's the Rebbe's? What's the lesson here? The answer might be no. Being involved in Talmud Torah, the Leil HaSeder, that's the expression of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be about. Kabbalah HaTorah. Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't end with Cheirus. It's a Cheirus today. It's a Cheirus to be Avdei Hashem, to accept the Torah and to do mitzvahs. And that's what Talmud Torah is an expression of. That could be what the Kos Paro Biyadi is really alluding to. Not just this idea of Yosef, that Yosef, the story of Yosef is what got us down to Mitzrayim in the first place. But rather it's that the goal of the Seder, what are the Dalet Kosos? As the Rambam explains, the Dalet Kosos are the expression of Cheres. That's one way that we express the Cheres. That's a mitzvah Rabbanan. Right? A way mid Rabbanan that we express the Cheres. Seba is another way that we express the Cheres. The Dalet Kosos is a way that we express the Cheres. B'nei Chorin drink, they drink wine. So if the Dalet Kosos is the expression of Cheres, what better time to have a reference to this idea that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to serve the king. Kos Paro Biyadi. My goal is not just to be a free man, but to be a free man so that I can serve the king properly. That's really the yesod, one of the yesodos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's something that the Dalet Kosos and CP Yetzias Mitzrayim are trying to bring out. Yachatz. Why do we do Yachatz? So the Beis Yosef quotes a Kolbo, gives two answers. It says either it's so that the Tinokos will ask, it's just another strange thing we do at the beginning of the Seder, that they'll ask a question. But then he says, We do the yachatz that we'll be able to say holach ma'anya on the prusa. Madako shaloni befrusa afkan befrusa. So, if that's the reason to do yachatz, so why does holach ma'anya have to be said here at the beginning of Maggid? We could say it some other time. What's the idea? Break the matzah to say that this is the lach ma'anya, this is the broken matzah, madako shaloni befrusa. The Rambam didn't have the yachatz at the beginning of the Seder. The Rambam had yachatz right before Motzi Matzah, because the Rambam felt it's a special halach on the Seder night to have Lechem Mishnah from the broken matzah. The new halach in Lechem Mishnah is supposed to be shleimos. It's supposed to be 1.5. We don't pask in that way. We have 2 shleimos. In addition, that's why we have 3 matzahs. That's for Kohen Levi Yisrael and Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. These are all nice ideas. I'll be Kabbalah. But the real reason for the 2 shleimos is that we'll have Lechem Mishnah from shleimos even on the night of the Seder. And we know we're going to break the middle matzah, but we don't want to have Lechem Mishnah just from the broken matzah and the shalim, because that's only 1.5. But the Rambam says no, the Rambam had 2 matzahs. The Rambam said motzi matzah, he said hamotzi on the shalim and the prusa. So the Rambam didn't have yachatz in the beginning of the Seder. He had a whole magid without the yachatz. So why do we need to say holach ma'ani at the beginning of magid so that we have to break the matzah before we say holach ma'ani? The Maral suggests, based on Rashi, Rashi Yimsochim says that Lechem Oni is Lechem Sha'onim Alavram Harbe. That's a Gemara. Lechem Oni, Lechem Sha'onim Alavram Harbe. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Halel veHagodah. You have to say the Haggadah and the Halel over the Lechem Oni. Say it in front of the Lechem Oni. Say it in front of the Matzah. The Haggadah has to be recited in front of the Matzah. The Matzah is the symbol that we take with us throughout the whole Haggadah. That's why we uncover the matzahs throughout the recitation of the Haggadah. It could be that's what the Kolbo had in mind as well. He's giving like a fusion pshat, that Lechem Oni is two things. It's Madaka Shaloni Befrusa, Afkan Befrusa, and Lechem Sha'onim Lavram Harbe. We want to say the Haggadah over the matzah, but the matzah is also Lechem Oni, Madaka Shaloni Befrusa, Afkan Befrusa. So we break the matzah before starting the Maggid, the Haggadah, so that we'll be able to say the Haggadah on a broken matzah. And we also say Holach Ma'anya to explain what we're doing, to explain that we're saying the whole Haggadah over the broken matzah, over this Lechem Oni. That's the idea. There's a beautiful Chidah who suggests something different. The Chidah says, you know what the purpose for the Yachatz is? It's to underscore the idea that B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim b'chatzi zmana, half the time. They're supposed to be there for 400 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chisha v'saketz. He pushed us along and he took them out before that time. B'chatzi zmana. So right at the beginning of the Seder we point out, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out b'chatzi zman. We appreciate so much that he didn't allow us to stay in Mitzrayim too long, to the Nun Sha'ar Tuma, to the Nun Sha'ar Tuma, and to have to suffer anymore. He took us out early. That's why we break the matzah, to show that we went up a chatzi zman. It could be, the chidah is, it could be that's why Makas Bechoros took place b'chatzi halayla. B'chatzos halayla also, halfway. Why halfway? It could have been at the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Why b'chatzos halayla? Again, to underscore this idea that B'nai Yisrael went up a chatzi zman, and we have such hakaras hatov for that reality. Holach ma'anya. Holach ma'anya. There are many questions that are asked about this piska, this paragraph. First of all, we say kol dichvin yesev yechom. Why do we invite the guests now? We should invite them before the Seder. We've already sat down to the meal. Why do we invite the guests now? Secondly, the end of holach ma'anya. Hashat ha'ochel l'shana b'avarei d'Yisrael. Hashat ha'avdei l'shana b'nechorin. Well, what does that have to do with anything? We describe what the matzah is. It's the matzah that they ate in Mitzrayim. Why do we add this tefillah? And we should have an ultimate geula. The Chasam Sofer answers based on another kasha. Some might ask, what are we doing at a Seder for? Certainly in Europe, when there was a lot of persecution, but even nowadays, we don't have everything good. Everything is not so good. There's been worse persecution, but these are trying times as well. We don't have an ultimate geula. We're still in Golis. There still is anti-Semitism. We still have tsaras. We have tsaras with parnasa, and tsaras with health, and tsaras with shiduchim. Not everything is not so perfect for us. So what are we so happy about? We talk about Geula, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we don't have the Geula. We don't have the same Geula that we that we once experienced. We lost it. We're in Golus. So if we're in Golus, why should we be so happy? That's a question someone might ask. Says the Chasam Sofer, the answer why we're happy is because Geulas Mitzrayim, we couldn't bring it any faster. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it faster. He was very good to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it, but we couldn't bring that faster. But Geulas, the Geula Asida, the ultimate Geula, we can bring faster. The Pasuk says, Be'ita Achishena. Right? Be'ita Achishena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you can bring the ultimate Geula faster. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he'll bring the Geula faster, but it's up to us. It's up to us. If we do mitzvahs, then the Geula can come faster, especially tzedakah. Gemara says, tzedakah is makarev Geula. Tzion v'mishpat yipadah v'shaveh b'tzedakah. Caring about other people, doing tzedakah, that's what can bring the ultimate Geula. Maybe that's why we say kol dichvin yesev v'yecho. We're not inviting the guests now. Yeah, the guests that we're inviting, we invited already. We're saying kol dichvin yesev v'yecho as an expression of the fact that the mitzvah of tzedakah can bring the ultimate geula. And that could be why dafka, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach, there's an inyan to give tzedakah mo tchitim. There's an inyan to give tzedakah every Yom Tov. In fact, the Rambam writes that the ikar simchas Yom Tov is to be mesameach those who are disadvantaged, to give tzedakah. So, maishna Pesach, why is Pesach any different? The answer is no, there's a special element of mo tchitim, a special element of tzedakah when it comes to Pesach, because we're talking about Geula, we're talking about Golus and Geula. The way to be Zohar to the ultimate Geula is by engaging, by being involved in the midst of Tzedakah, by caring for other people. That's why we say, when we remember Golus Mitzrayim, we remind ourselves that through Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, by caring about others, by doing Tzedakah, Mitzvahs, and Masim Tovim, we can be Zohar to the ultimate Geula. Manishtana. What are we asking in the Manishtana? We know the four questions, right? What are we asking in the Manishtana? So the Abarbanel has a very famous answer, which I think is a fundamental yisod. He suggests that the questions in the Manishtana are not really four questions, it's one yisod. The yisod is that when Noheg at the Seder, there are a lot of stiras, there are a lot of contradictions here. We have Zeicha La'avdus, we have Zeicha La'cheiros, we have Matzah and Mara, which sound like a Zeicha La'avdus, look like a Zeicha La'avdus. We have Zeicha La'cheiros, we have Shnei Tivulim, Haseba, Zeicha La'cheiros. We talk about Avdus, we talk about Cheiros, it's doch a stira. In fact, the Matzah itself is a stira. The Matzah itself symbolizes both the Holach Ma'anya, the Achalu Avasana, Be'arad Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim before they left, through the Avodas Parach, and B'Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. They didn't have time for the matzah to rise when they were thrown out of Mitzrayim. So Zeicha La'avdus and the Zeicha La'cheiros. Mor as well. It's a Zeicha to the bitter experience that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. But the Gemara Psachim and Daf Lamed Tes says that we take the Chosa. Why do we take Romaine Lettuce? Because it's less bitter? One of the reasons given by the Gemara is because the Chos Rachmana Ilavon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on us. Chos rachmana ilavon. So the Abarbanel, the kasha of Manishtana, the one kasha is that it's tachastir. How can we be noig both? How can we have these contradictions? Benoig zeich la'avdus, benoig zeich la'cheres. How can it be? So what's the answer? The answer is yes. But by yotzeinu Hashem elokeinu misham. We were avodim, but now we're bnei chorin. And even when we're B'nai Chorin, we don't forget that we were Avodim. That's why we need both. We need both the Zeicha La'avdus and the Zeicha La'cheiros. We can't just have a Zeicha La'cheiros. We have to think of Avdus even when we're B'nai Chorin. And that's why it's not a stira. At the Seder, we need both. We bring out all of our wealth. And we bring out the fancy clothing and the fancy dishes to show the Cheiros that we have. And we're so happy about the Cheiros, we're so appreciative of that Cheiros, but at the same time, we do remember the Avdus. And we have to remember the Avdus. Why is that? Why do we have to mention the Avdus even when we talk about Cheiros? Let's just talk about the Cheiros. We'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Cheiros. What do you have to think of the Avdus for? So I think for two reasons, it's important to mention both. And to recognize that both themes, they're not a stira, the different parts of our history, different parts in the process, but we have to think of the Avdus too. Why? So first of all, we have to mention the Avdus, because when we think about the Avdus, it makes us appreciate the Cheiros as well. This is what the Malbim writes to explain Maschil beGenus and Messiah B'Sheva. Why do we have to start with the Genus? You have to talk about the Genus? Let's talk about the Sheva, talk about the good stuff. No, we start with the Genus because when we talk about the Genus and how lowly we were, how bad the situation was, so then we appreciate the Shevach so much more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so good to us. You need the contrast to appreciate the Cheres. That's one answer. I think there's another answer as well. That is that once we see the Cheres, so then of course we're going to appreciate redemption. But sometimes a person doesn't appreciate that the Tzara itself, that the Avdus itself was good. That was also a good. The Avdus was necessary to get to the Geula. Avdus was necessary. Sometimes we don't appreciate, it's very hard. No one can appreciate the Tzara when they're going through it. But sometimes after the Geula, it's not just that you mention the Avdus to appreciate the fact that you were Nigel, the fact that you had a Geula. But the purpose of mentioning the Avdus is to realize that the Avdus also is good. As the Gemara says, Kolmada Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid. We have emuna that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, it's for good. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshaya, La'asid Lavo will say, Odcha Hashem ki anaf tabi yoshov abchaus anachameni. We thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll thank you, I'll praise you for being angry with me, for bringing all of the tzaras to me. Because now that yoshov abcha, now that you're no longer angry with me. Now that you comfort me, I realize that the anger that you displayed was really good for me. What does that mean? The anger is good. The tzaras are good. The geula is good. Well, how can the anger be good? I think in three different ways. I think first of all we have to realize that what's the purpose of a tzara? It's not to give us yisurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to do bad. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to be meitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tovu meitiv. So what's he giving us yisurim for? The answer is we know. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to feel a connection to him. So the purpose of the tzara is that we should call out in tefillah. We should be zoed. We should cry out to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us. That relationship is not lost even after Geula. That special relationship is something that we gain through the tzara. So after the Geula, you realize, hey, the tzara was good for me because now I feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special closeness even more. That's one way that tzara can be a good thing. Secondly, tzara is good because nisyonos reveal kochos hanefesh of an individual that he never knew he had. Person can shoot for the stars more when they realize that they have special kochos hanefesh. They had a tzara, taka was difficult, but they withstood the tzara. Those kochos hanefesh can help a person achieve much more. So sometimes when the geula comes, you realize that the tzara reveals something about you that you never knew. That also shows that the tzara is a good thing. And specifically when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this is true about geula in general, the geula is mar bekvot shamayim. You have an increase in kvot shamayim in the world. Look at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal say that no eved left Mitzrayim. It was impossible. It was completely locked up. There was no eved, no slave was able to leave Mitzrayim. And yet B'nai Yisrael left B'shishim Rivo, 600,000. What a nace, what an incredible nace. L'kachas lo goy mikerev goy. HaKadosh Baruch was the only one who could have done such a thing. Kriyas Yamsuf, what a tremendous kvot shamayim that produced. We see that the geula produced the kvot shamayim, but it's only through the golus, through the fact that we were avodim beforehand, the contrast from avdus to cheres, that's what produced that tremendous kvot shamayim. So it's the realization that the golus and the geula, even the golus was necessary to produce the tremendous kvot shamayim of the geula. So then we realize that the golus was also a good thing. It may have been difficult. It may have been a terrible avdus. It's very difficult, but if a person's perspective is not selfish, it's not about themselves, it's about being marbek fot shamayim, so then when a person realizes that the avdus and the geula, the avdus and the cheres as a unit produced a ribuy of fot shamayim, so then even the golus was a positive. So it's very important. It's not a stira, it's one unit. Mentioning both the avdus and the cheres as part of the seder is one unit because even the avdus is very, very important. The Rambam, though, has an interesting understanding of the Manishtana. The Rambam doesn't say that the Manishtana is a question. Right? It's really a declaration. Manishtana halayla hazeh. How different is this night? It's not how is this night different, as they often translate. It's how different is this night? So different. Look, we normally don't eat matzah, right? Or we'll eat chametz u'matzah. Now we only eat matzah. We're not going to eat mara. We eat mara. We don't recline normally. It's not. These aren't questions. It's a statement of fact. The Rambam actually writes in Perek Ches Halacha Beis of Ilchas Chametz u'matzah. The Omer HaKore Manishtana. It's not for the children. Yeah, the children can ask the questions, but ultimately it's the Kore Hagada. The Rambam writes in that parak that there was one person who read all of the Hagada for the Besubim, and they would listen to him. So that's not our minute. We have everyone reading together. Right? But you see from the Rambam that the Manishtana are not just for the children. According to the Rambam, you get the impression that every person should say the Manishtana themselves. Whether before the children, during the children, after the children, but you shouldn't just let the children say the Manishtana and go on. Because really, every person is supposed to say the Manishtana. They're not just questions, they're an expression. They are the beginning of the Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. They're an expression of how different, how incredible, how special and unique the night of the Seder is. Okay, we're sort of running out of time. So let's just mention a few more points. We'll leave it at that. Avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. What do we say? V'ilu lahotzi ha-kanash rogos ha-vaseinu mi-mitzrayim harei anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu m'shavodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. So the Velt asks, how do we know? Is it so obvious that we'd still be in Mitzrayim if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out? Maybe we would have left Mitzrayim by some natural course of events. What's more, why does the Baal HaGadah change the Lashon? First he says, Avadam Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim, and then he says, Ilu Lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavaseinu Mimitzrayim, Harianu Vaneinu Vnei Vaneinu, Mishubadim Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. Should have said, Avadam Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. Why Mishubadim? So the Biskarav and Rav Pam, they both suggest, and some other mefarshim as well, they both suggest that the Baal HaGadah is not meaning to say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't taken us out of Mitzrayim, we still would be there. No, it's not a davar pasha, we still would be there. What the Baal HaGadah means to say is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't taken us out b'yod chazak or through nisim, but rather he would have arranged through the natural course of events that Paro would free us, that Paro would have freed us through natural means, so then we'd still be mishubad and we'd still be beholden to Paro. We'd still have to be makir tov to Paro for freeing us. And then we couldn't be avdei Hashem in the fullest sense of the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have taken us as a nation because we wouldn't have a full cheiros from Paro. That's the idea. We'd still be mishubadim leParo. And since the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is of course v'lokachli eschem lila'am, that we should be avdei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out b'yad chazak of Yisroel HaNetuyah. He had to take us out with nisim gluyim so that he could kona us as his avod. Rav Pam continues that Rav Shlomo Kluger explained based on this yesod the psukim, the lashon of the psukim. What does the pasuk say? V'hotzeis yeschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim v'go'alti yeschem Yisroel HaNetuyah v'shvatim gedolim v'lokachli yeschem lila'am. What's the hemshach ha-dvar? Shlomo Kluger says that's exactly what the pasuk is saying. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with nisim, with shvatim gedolim, dafka in that way, so that you'll be meshubed only to me, vidatem, and you'll know ki ani Hashem amotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. You will know ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem and no one else. You'll know that you're beholden only to me and to no one else. That's the purpose. That was the purpose of taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, b'yad chazak of Yisrael HaNetuyah, so that we could become the Am Hashem. Okay, let's skip a little bit. The Haggadah says, "Metchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avaseinu v'asher kevanu hamakom v'avodasa." The Gemara Pesachim has a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What does Masla Beganusim Messiah B'Shevach mean? Does it mean Avodim Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim? That's Masla Beganusim. Does it mean Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avaseinu? What's the machlokas? So we know that Bnei Yisrael were Meshubad in Mitzrayim with two Shibudim. There was a Shibud Aguf and a shibud hanefesh, a physical bondage and a spiritual bondage. The Sefer Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Zundel of Salant, points out that he thinks that's the lashon of the psukim. Pasuk says, Ra'o ro'isi asani ami asher b'mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've seen the tzaras that Klal Yisrael are experiencing in Mitzrayim. Why the double lashon, the double re'iyah? Pakod pakadati aschem, I remember you. Why the double lashon? The answer is, there were two shibudim and two geulos. There was a shibud aguf and a shibud hanefesh, a shibud gashmi and a shibud ruchni, both together. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. The machlokas is, what should you mention? Is maschle b'gnosu m'sayim b'shevach, do you focus on the shibud gashmi or do you focus on the shibud ruchni? So we pass in that you mentioned both. We pass like both, we're machmer for both Rav and Shmuel. So the question is, if we're machmer for both Rav and Shmuel, which Sheba do you think is more significant? Why does the Baal HaGadol begin Avadim Ayun Lefar B'Mitzrayim? He should talk about the Sheba Ruchni. Is it Ruchni is more important than Gashmis? Shouldn't he talk about Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu? And then later we'll talk about Avadim Ayun Lefar B'Mitzrayim. Why does he talk about the Shibud Gashmi before the Shibud Ruchni? The answer that the Sefer Ber Yosef suggests is that the Shibud Aguf was Nikar, but the Shibud Hanefesh was not Nikar. The physical bondage of Adah was Nikar. B'nai Yisrael were working in Mitzrayim. They were enslaved, that was clear. But the Shibud Hanefesh, the Shibud HaRuchni, the spiritual Shibud that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim, that they weren't Avnei Hashem, it wasn't Nikar, it wasn't recognizable to the onlooker. He says that's what the Posuk means. Beautiful Dirk in the Psukim. He says, V'otzeisi eschem mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take you out of the Sivlos Mitzrayim. Salti eschem, V'goalti eschem, etc. V'idatem ki ani Hashem amotzi eschem mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Starts by mentioning that I'm going to take you out of Sivlos Mitzrayim. Then in the end it says, and you'll know that I'm the one who took you out of Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. If you look carefully at the Pasuk, the first Sivlos is Chaser, it's without a Vav. The second Sivlos is Mole. Vidatem ki ani Hashem amotzi eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. The second Sivlos is Mole. Why the change? Sivlos is Sivlos. Well, why? Either they both should be Chaser or both Mole. Either both with the Vav or both without the Vav. Zokta Sefer Be'er Yosef. No, the Pshat is a talking about the two different Shibudim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, first of all, I'm going to take you out from the Shibud Aguf, the physical slavery. I'm going to redeem you from the physical slavery. You won't have to work in Mitzrayim anymore. V'ga'alti Eschem, v'hitzalti Eschem, v'lakachti Eschem li la'om. I'm going to give you a Torah. And I give you a Torah. I breathe a spiritual life into you. I'll make you a different people. When you become a ruchniyistika people, then you'll know that not only did I take you out of the Sivlos Mitzrayim of the Shibud Aguf, but I took you out of the Sivlos Mitzrayim of the Shibud HaNefesh as well. When you were in Mitzrayim, you didn't even appreciate the Shibud Ruchni that you had. You didn't appreciate that you not only had a Shibud Aguf, you had a Shibud HaNefesh as well. But when you become a people that appreciates ruchniyist, when you become a people that has a Torah, so then you'll understand, wow, you'll understand how low you were in Mitzrayim and the great Sheva, the great Tova that I did for you, that I took you out of Mitzrayim. This could be why the Baal HaGadol starts with Avadim Ayinu B'Far B'Mitzrayim. Of course, Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu was a much, much more significant Avdus, and that Avdus continued to Mitzrayim as well. Right? There was a Shibud in Mitzrayim, a Shibud Ruchni Mitzrayim as well. But what's the Iker Shibud? What's the Shibud that was Nikar? Excuse me. What's the Shibud that was Nikar? Avadim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. The Shibud Gufni. The Shibud Gashmi. The physical bondage. That's what was Nikar. That's what the Baal HaGadol mentions first. First we'll talk about what's obvious. Talk about what's obvious. But ultimately, if the Shibud Ruchni, the Cheres Ruchni, the Geula Ruchni, that's really what we want to focus on. So we don't deny the fact. We don't hide the fact that there was a Shibud Aguf as well, but the goal is really to talk about the Shibud Ruchni, to talk about the second type of Geula. But the first thing that we're going to mention is the Shibud Aguf, because that's what was Nikar. And this applies not only at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it applies with Zman Hazeh as well, Ledoros. Even in our Golos, we don't have as much of a Shibud Aguv Baruch Hashem. And there are two types of Shibudim. Sometimes throughout Golos, there was a Shibud Aguv. Very often there was a persecution and a physical slavery, if you will. They weren't slaves, but Yisrael weren't slaves, but there was a physical persecution. And to some extent, there's a spiritual persecution as well. There was a Shibud Aguf, there was a Shibud HaNefesh. Bizman HaZeh Baruch Hashem, we don't have the same kind of Shibud Aguf. Maybe there isn't the same kind of physical slavery or physical Shibud. We have a Parnasa, Baruch Hashem. Much is provided for us. We don't have the same Shibud Aguf that we once had. But the Shibud HaNefesh we do have. There's a lot of Klal Yisrael that are confused. They don't know the proper derech. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Shibud HaNefesh in this Golos is very strong, maybe even stronger than in some of the other Golios. And it's something that people don't appreciate. You see, the Shibud HaGuf, when a person is physically enslaved, he does appreciate that. But the spiritual enslavement, the fact that a person's off course, there's much of American Jewry is off course. They don't even realize that they're off course. The Passover that they experience, it's good to have some kind of a connection. The Passover that they experience, that's not the Seder that we have. It's off course. They don't realize what they're missing. It's such a shame. It's so sad. We should feel that kind of sadness. The Shechina feels the sadness. Kaviyach. The Shechina feels bitzar. We should feel that tzar too. We should realize that the Seder night is not only talking about freedom from physical bondage, it's freedom from spiritual bondage. We daven on the Seder night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be ma'orer each and every individual. He should be ma'orer each person, especially those who are completely lost, that they should find a way back. They should find a way back to meaning in life, to spirituality, to Tariq Mitzvos. We should be ma'orer from the experience of the Seder night to strengthen ourselves as well. And the schus of all of the mitzvahs that we fulfill at the Seder, we should be zoche to see the ultimate geula and the binyan by Yishlishi and Herav Yameinu. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.